We want to welcome everyone to OU Radio. Today, we are profoundly grateful. Boy, do we have a special guest, Nadav Shearman, the director of The Green Prince. And for those of you who have not seen it, we're going to give information where you can see it. It's opening in New York and Los Angeles at this point, and it will be opening in cities across America very soon. The Green Prince, of course, is the story of the son of Hamas, the son of Hanan Youssef, the head of Hamas in the West Bank, and how ultimately he became a source for Israel, for Shin Bet, as well as Gonen Ben Yitzchak, the member of Shin Bet, and their relationship over a 10-year period. And we're going to turn it over at this point to Nadav to share with us. Nadav, if you'd like to start out, tell us a little bit about producing this film and the impact this film has had on you and what you're trying to communicate to the world with this film.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here today. For me, this journey started by reading the book Son of Hamas that Mossab had written once he was out. And I was very much surprised, you know, being an Israeli, I realized that we know very little about Hamas. You know, they had won the elections in 2006. They were our neighbors, so to speak. And reading the book, I realized we know nothing about them. The book, Mossab grew up, he was groomed, let's say, to be a prince in Hamas. His father was the top Hamas leader in the West Bank, and he was supposed to follow in his steps. So he had a unique insider's perspective, which I found fascinating. And the book is mostly about, you know, how it's his journey. First of all, you know, becoming an Israeli agent, gradually, you know, leaving that the world of Hamas and his conversion. So it's his point of view. But then after I put down the book and I was interested in making a film from this, I was introduced by one of our associates to Gonen Ben Yitzchak, who was the Shin Bet handler. And when I understood the nature of their relationship today, how these, let's say, best of enemies had become best of friends, I was deeply touched. I was really deeply touched. And this propelled me to dig deeper and to meet Mossab. And eventually this paved the way to making the film. I actually remember the day when I met Mossab for the first time. It was here in New York. In a hotel, I was waiting for him in the hotel lobby when the news came on that Osama bin Laden had been killed. And there was a sort of buzz in the hotel. Everything went quiet. I think all of New York, all of the world was glued to TV, to the television and to the radio. And then Mossab walked in and he said, "Have you heard the news?" I was like, "Yes." And he's like, "Let's go down to ground zero." And within, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of meeting the son of a Hamas leader, I was in a taxi with him going down to ground zero. When we got there, there were thousands of young Americans who were celebrating as if they had won the World Cup. They were shouting, "America, America." And I remember observing Mossab from the side and watching him really wanting to take part in this celebration, in this new culture which had granted him asylum. But I knew that 10 years before that, he may as well have cheered for the other side. So the identity crisis, the change that he was going through was tremendous, and I found this fascinating. And then we spent 3 days in New York talking, and for me it was really important to see if there was a bond of trust that could be established, because the way that I make films is I'm concerned more about the emotional side of things. And for somebody to open up their emotions to a film crew is very difficult. And I got to say that both Mossab and Gonen were extraordinarily courageous, not only in the missions that they did, you know, to stop terrorist attacks, but also in allowing us to lead them into the darker, more emotional corners of their own narrative.
To our listenership, when you see The Green Prince, and I strongly recommend that everyone see it as soon as possible, what Nadav created was not only on a historical and on a political level very powerful and gripping, but on an emotional and psychological level. Nadav, if you would talk for a few minutes about, from your perspective, the transformation that took place over that 10-year period, when he was first arrested, when they first asked him if he would participate and work for Israel, and in the emotional psychological roller coaster.
Well, he, you know, so his father is one of the founding members of Hamas. And then, as such, he became a Hamas leader in the West Bank. His father is a religious leader, a Muslim religious leader, an imam. And Mossab grew up in a very devout Muslim family, and he soon began to see how politics took over the religion when Hamas became also a political military group. And growing up in the West Bank, he, you know, his heroes were these, what we call terrorists. For them, they were freedom fighters, you know. But it was these masked men that, you know, that came and from their perspective, took revenge against the Israelis. So these were the heroes. You know, there was no television, there was no cinema. Hamas burned down all the cinemas, of course, because they wanted people to go out on the street and demonstrate and be active politically, so to speak. So he grew up in an environment which sort of encouraged, you know, guerrilla fighters and resistance in their words and so on. And his father kept being arrested. He was in and out of jail all the time. Israeli jails and then Palestinian Authority jails. So Mossab as a teenager became very angry and frustrated, and he went to buy guns. He wanted to take revenge. He didn't really know against whom to take revenge because he didn't know if he hated more the Palestinian Authority, who he saw as corrupt and collaborating with Israel and America, or against the Israelis. But he wanted to do something. He was filled with anger, and he went and bought guns. And then he was arrested with these guns, and he was taken to a Shin Bet facility and interrogated, and was given a choice, you know, work for us or spend, you know, years in jail. And his original thought was, okay, I'll say yes, I'll agree to work for the Shin Bet, and then they let me go, and then I'll go and I'll take revenge and I'll kill one of them. He wanted to become a hero by killing an Israeli Shin Bet agent. So he agreed to work with them, thinking, you know, he would put a secret plan in motion. And then he was sent to prison for a few months for appearance's sake, you know, because if they would release him immediately, it would look like he's a collaborator and nothing would work. So they say he spent a few months in prison. He went to prison, and there everything changed, because in prison he witnessed the most horrible tortures conducted by Hamas members against other Palestinians whom they suspected of collaborating with Israel. So he knew that these people were innocent. So he witnessed, in effect, the torture and sometimes death, murder of innocent people within the prison conducted by Hamas members. And he started to see a side of Hamas which he had never seen, a sort of a morally corrupt, violent side of Hamas. And that scared him, because the only Hamas that he knew growing up, you know, with his father was, you know, a more, let's say, socially engaged, maybe a slightly political, but he'd never seen this violent side, and that shocked him. And when he was released from prison, he then had a meeting with a Shin Bet handler. And he went there with a lot of fear, with a lot of apprehension, because he thought they would threaten him. That, you know, the rampant belief in the streets, in the Palestinian streets, is that the Shin Bet would, you know, force young Palestinians to have sexual relationships with members of their family and film this, and then they would use this to blackmail them. And they have the craziest, wildest ideas. They really perceive the Shin Bet as the devil. So he was going to a meeting with the devil. And then when he gets there, he finds the nicest person ever, who says, no, well, you know, you need to finish your school, you need to go to university, you need to pray five times a day, you need to respect your parents. And they're all for him, they're encouraging him, they're taking care of him, more so than his own family. And that surprises him. And it makes him curious. So curiosity then becomes, his first motive was revenge. His second motive becomes curiosity. And in the relationship which forms, as you can see in the film, with his Shin Bet handler, they're very good at, you know, handling, it's called, or manipulating. But as you'll see in the film, you know, Gonen says that if you want a source, an agent, they call them sources, to be on your side, you need to be for him, not against him. So you can't threaten them. You need to bring them onto your side. You need to be on the same side as them. It's very manipulative. It's very clever. But it also creates a real opportunity for these sources, because what happened to Mossab actually is that he began to gain knowledge and consciousness through this, because he comes from a fundamental Muslim society, no cinema, no television, nothing but Islam. And all of a sudden, through this contact with the Shin Bet handler, he learns about democracy, he learns about law, he learns about different religions, he learns about philosophy. His mind expands, and he's a very intelligent, curious young man. So he's learning a lot, he's getting a lot. And at that point, he's not giving any information yet. They're grooming him. And then, when he's ready, They release his father from prison. His father was in an Israeli prison. They release him, knowing that he will, you know, go back into the politics of Hamas and the leadership of Hamas. And Mossad becomes his assistant. And that's when he starts transferring information. But in the process, he's already trained, you know, so he gained a lot of knowledge. He gained the support. He feels special now because he's a young man and he's a spy. So there's also the excitement of feeling a bit of a James Bond. And the excitement played a big part. You know, you've seen the film. They give him all sort of technological devices to spy. And you know, and to be a young Palestinian walking, you know, in the streets, knowing that you're part of secret missions and so on, it's very exciting for a young man. It gives him a sense of power. So these elements, you know, start to come together. But I would say the most important element, as you will see in the film, was the bond of trust that was created with his Shin Bet handler. I think, you know, so the curiosity, the learning, the little bit of money that he was paid, the sense of power that comes with being a spy. These were all good and fine. But ultimately, you know, he started feeling that the Israelis don't really trust him, that they just use him. Which may have been the case. And then steps in this very intelligent, charismatic handler, Gonen, who takes a big risk, in effect, in showing Mossad that he trusts him. And from this comes a bond, which is the story of the film. It's the story of this relationship, which is extraordinary. And which led, you know, there's a lot of elements that we couldn't put in the film. I can tell, you know, your listener, Rabbi. For example, Mossad found information which led to preventing an attack on President Peres. So, it, you know, those kinds of missions that they were able to conduct together because of that bond that existed. You know, they stopped numerous suicide bombings. They led to the arrest of masterminds of suicide attacks. So you know, they were both very courageous men. But what led to this extraordinary collaboration was really this bond of trust, which was created by these extraordinary individuals.
Would you share with us, Nadav, where in New York the film is playing? I know it opens Friday. Where it's playing in New York and where in Los Angeles?
So the film opens September 12th, this weekend. And we'll be playing in New York at the Angelica Theater downtown and at the Lincoln Center Plaza uptown.
The Angelica and the Lincoln Center Plaza. And where in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, it starts at the Landmark Theater.
The Landmark Theater.
And it also opens up in Washington, D.C., in Atlanta, in Miami. It's going to slowly start to spread, providing that people come, you know, in the opening week, because this is the reality of film distribution. So it will spread across America.
Please share. And as someone who has had the opportunity to see the film, I'm telling you, it is a gripping film on many levels. It's the kind of film that you'll have multiple conversations about, that you'll discuss. When you hear Mossad, many of you have seen it. If you haven't, you can Google him. He's on Fox News. He's on other news channels, CNN. You'll get a tremendous insight into this man, because when you see him on TV and on the news, he's speaking from a political point of view. Extremely astute, extremely articulate. What Nadav brought out in this film is really the transformation, the emotional, psychological transformation of the person. And it's a must-see. It's called, of course, The Green Prince, which was the term that he was referred to by the members of the Shin Bet. If you could share with us, Nadav, in terms of making this film, the impact in terms of the strain that he had with his family, the impact that Gonen had, where to a certain degree Gonen was married to his job and was married to Mossad more than his own family. If you could speak about that.
Yes, but actually, you know, it's an interesting question. In my first film, The Champagne Spy, which was the story of a son who discovers that his father is a Mossad agent. So a spy, and is sworn to secrecy. We had Mossad agents talk for the first time about the personal psychological toll of espionage. And in effect, it's a very addictive sort of job. The adrenaline is high, you know, they have unlimited expense accounts, they get to be assume another identity. And there is a level of addiction to the covered identity. And which creates an estrangement with the family sometimes. And The Champagne Spy, the film, was really about the psychological price of espionage in the sense of, how, you know, who pays the real price? Is it the family who stays in the shadows? Is it the children and so on? And it was very interesting exploration. In The Green Prince, as you mentioned, there is also that element. You know, Gonen mentioned, I remember, that when he was on the job, and again, his job was to stop suicide attacks against Israelis. So it's a very important mission. But there's also that level of adrenaline that one feels, you know, with the action that goes with the job. And he talked a bit about it in addictive terms. You become addicted to this. You don't go home. You work sometimes 20 hours. You don't sleep. You sleep in the office. You get up. There's red alerts. You continue working. So, yes, it's an extremely crucial mission because lives are at stake. But there's also that level of addiction to adrenaline. You become adrenaline junkies. And a lot of Shin Bet people that I talk to, handlers and sources, talk about becoming adrenaline junkies. So that's one level which sort of creates that, you know, distance. But there's also the on the basic level, Mossad Hassan Youssef, by being an Israeli spy, he betrays his family, he betrays his people. So today he's completely, uprooted. He doesn't have the roots. Gonen, you know, has paid a heavy price. He hasn't lost his family. He's still married, happily married, has his children. But the Shin Bet, he described it as a family as well. The Shin Bet is an environment that he describes as, you know, especially being a handler. You are a handler is like the prince of the Shin Bet. You know, they invest a lot of times into their training and a lot of money and time into their training and in their grooming. And it's a very sort of family-like environment, you know, the Mossad and the Shin Bet. And when Gonen starts, you know, breaking protocol in order to be there for his sources. Remember Gonen telling me, most Shin Bet handler, when they come back from meeting a source, the first thing that they do is wash their hands. And I didn't. And my sources felt that. So there is that sort of human bond that he managed to create with his sources, which makes him an extraordinary handler, but also makes him a lot of enemies within the system, within the Shin Bet. And oftentimes you find in, you know, Gonen-related situations where he had the choice between protocol and the source, he would choose the source. Obviously, you can't run a system like that, which led to him being ousted from the Shin Bet. As you see in the film, you know, it's a very painful moment. He's thrown out from the Shin Bet. He loses his Shin Bet family, so to speak. What is even more extraordinary, that he was a persona non grata in the Shin Bet. But as a result of the film, The Green Prince, opening in Israel, it's a big success there, thank God. He today is the go-to person for the Israeli media in terms of the Shin Bet matters. So in the war that we had going on in the summer, Gonen would be on TV every other day being interviewed, you know, about his opinion and you know, and his views on things, which in a way closes the circle for him. You know, there's an element of redemption that happened.
You brought out in the film, I remember there was a key scene where he says, what they were trained is to always have doubt. And there's to never let your guard down, to always be suspicious. And to a certain degree, he lost that doubt, meaning there was such a bond of trust between him and Mossad. And at that point, the Shin Bet got nervous in terms
very
of
much
where
so.
He was going.
Very much so. Lo yanum velo yishan shomer Israel. You know, one should not sleep in the garden. And a lot of handlers speak about this, that it's a very precarious situation because you need to trust your source, or you need to make your source feel that you trust them so they can bring you information. But if you really trust them, then you let your guard down and they could kill you. And one of the most horrible things that happened in the Shin Bet history was this happened twice. I think it was Noam Cohen, may he rest in peace, who was a Shin Bet handler, who went to meet a source. And the source waited for him with an axe and killed him. And there was another occurrence like this. And since then, the Shin Bet handlers are not allowed to meet their sources without bodyguard protection. So they always travel with 6 bodyguard protection. The meet is always set up in an environment which is controlled. The biggest fear is to lose your source. That's the biggest fear. To lose your handler, forgive me. And so when in the film you see when Gonen needs to show Mossad that he trusts him and he decides to go meet him without bodyguards, he takes a massive risk. He risks losing his life. Because they know that Mossad's original intention was to kill the handler. But yet, Gonen feels that he needs to do this to show trust. There's a huge element of risk. And for me, in many ways, this film is about taking a risk to trust the other, because it's a big risk to trust some, you know, to trust an enemy, to trust somebody that you don't know. But as a result of this trust, what happens is that there is a relationship. So it's about trust. It's about taking the risk to trust the other, but it's also about taking the risk to follow your own moral compass, because both these gentlemen acted upon what they felt was right, not upon what the system dictated to them, whether it was Hamas or Shin Bet, but upon their moral compass. And that takes guts as well, to follow your own moral compass.
This is a film, once again, that everyone has to see. Playing at Lincoln Center, as well as where in downtown?
The Angelica Theater.
The Angelica Theater. What we're going to be providing is a trailer that you'll have a chance to look. And please, those who are not in Los Angeles or New York, it will be coming to South Florida, Atlanta, Washington, many cities across America. It is an extremely powerful, meaningful film. And for those of us who have lived through the last 15 years, you're going to get an insight into the history that we've experienced and participated in, an insight that we could never have otherwise. Nadav, we are very grateful. We know that you're on a plane to Frankfurt, Germany at this point in the busy schedule. The fact that you took the time to come here, we're extremely grateful to you.
Thank you so much.
We're also extremely grateful for what you've provided, not only for the American Jewish community, but really for humanity as well, to get a very different insight than the kind of, you know, 6 or 8 second sound bites that they see on a television program, to really get a powerful, powerful insight. Kol hakavod to you.
Toda rabba. Thank you so much.
Thank you.